Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned to Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM stereo. This afternoon's program, Q&A program, is sponsored by Al Imdad Foundation. Alhamdulillah, for our Q&A this afternoon, we are going to be linking up with one of the famous scholars, a very well-known scholar, Sheikh al-Hadith Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, who is an author of approximately 200 books. Our learned scholar presently appears on Radio Islam, Channel Islam International, and also on many other radio stations. We would like to welcome onto the airwaves of Radio Al Ansar, onto our Q&A session, Sheikh al-Hadith Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Hussain. Before we just go a little further, I don't have the title of Sheikh al-Hadith. Sheikh al-Hadith is another title, inshallah I will explain as the program goes. Sheikh al-Hadith is a very high title and we have to set the record correct immediately. I do realize that you like me a lot, but I'm not Sheikh al-Hadith yet.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab, inshallah, we will go into that. But, you know, we do have, or I think, obviously, our listeners do have lots of respect for you, as Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah, is actually well known to Radio Al Ansar and to the Durban community for the Hajj seminars. Mufti Saab, to begin with our Q&A session today, we would actually like you to explain to us or just summarize from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 183, the ayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the ayat which you have recited. First of all, the ayat is addressed to the believers, and the ayat is addressed to Muslims, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, that O Muslims, or O those who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that fasting has been made obligatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala allatheena min qablikum, that it has been made obligatory upon you, just as it has been made obligatory upon those before you. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all wise and He is our creator, our nourisher, our provider. Imam Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi in his Tafsir Kabir, he writes under this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our creator and He understands us fully well and He is psychologically preparing us by saying that, listen, fasting is easy because it was done prior to you. The nations before you, they also engaged in fasting and they also carried out fasting. That is one aspect. Second aspect is the origin of fasting. And it has to do with a subject on its own, because we have to trace fasting from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam right up to the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam in Madinatul Munawwara, and subsequently in Madinatul Munawwara, how it evolved slowly, surely, until it reached to the stage where we are fasting and how we are fasting. The method how we are fasting, originally it was not that, it had certain variations, but it was due to a process of evolution of fasting. Alhamdulillah, today we are fasting how we are fasting.
Alhamdulillah.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious and righteous and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now concerning this aspect of how we can gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst fasting, various illustrious scholars have stated various things. First of all, Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah Ali, in his famous kitab Hujjatullah al-Baligha, and now Alhamdulillah Hujjatullah al-Baligha, my ustad Mufti Saeed Palampuri, Allah Ta'ala grant him long life, has written a commentary of it. It is going to be over 5 volumes. 4 volumes have been published thus far, and each volume is over 800, 900 pages. And this is more valuable work because the thought and the ideology and the philosophy of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi is very difficult to understand for any ordinary person. And Mufti Saab, Mufti Saeed Palampuri, has simplified it for every person. Nevertheless, Shah Saab, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi states that there are two qualities in man. First of all, man as man. And then, opposite to him is the qualities of animal. So the animalism quality. That is one aspect. Second is that in man we have two qualities constantly tussling and fighting and quarreling. One is the satanic qualities, or the satanic qualities coupled with nafs and desires and whims and fancies. And opposite to that is the quality and the power of the malaika, the angels. And they are also fighting, always in the body. Manana Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani Ramtullah Ali, he states that in man there are two components. One is the body and one is the soul. And the body and the soul, they are at loggerheads. Now, one of the Idris Khadabi Ramtullah Ali, in his tafsir Ma'riful Quran, there are two Ma'riful Qurans. One is by Mufti Shafi Ramtullah Ali, and one is by Mawlana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Mawlana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullah Alayh states that if a person learns to control two qualities and disciplines it, then he can become pious. That is the quality, number one, of anger, and secondly, the quality of passion. Now, we have just mentioned four things. One is the quality of a good man, a person, insan. And one is animal. And secondly, one is satanic qualities, and opposite to that, the qualities of the malaika. Thirdly, body and soul. Fourthly, to control anger and passion. Now, each one of these four points requires discussion, and it requires lengthy discussion, and I'll start off with the first one, because there is a famous saying that to become a human being, to become insan, is very difficult. Some even have stated to become a scholar in Islam is very easy. To become classified scholar in Islam is very easy, but to become a human being, that is very difficult. Now, if we look around and we study the lives of the awliya and the sufiya also, some sufis should walk around in their localities covering their faces. And upon inquiry, they ask them, why are you covering your faces? They say, no, when we walk around, we see man in his true qualities. We see some of them like lions, we see some of them like tigers, we see some of them like vultures, and we see some of them like cheetahs, and we see some of them like pigs, and we see some of them like donkeys and horses, etc. Now there is a kitab, a very nice kitab written, called Hayatul Hayawanat, the life of animals. It has not been translated yet, someone should translate it. Now this kitab, written originally in the Arabic language, the translations, various translations in the Urdu language are available, but no translation in the English language at the moment. It is not like a common biology textbook. Besides discussing the external features of animals, that book discusses the characteristics of the animals and the inner qualities of the animals, the behavior of the animals, the character of the animals, the personality of the animals, and how animals react. And this is a unique book. We learn quite a bit from this book. Now, when we look around, that man, unfortunately, for 11 months, he begins to develop and he begins to imbibe animal qualities in himself. And he becomes like these animals. That is why, unfortunately, you'll find certain people that they do not bother about what they're doing. You see, the animal life, first of all, has got no discipline. Animal life does not have any rules and regulations. Animal life does not have any laws governing them. Animal life, they are so-called free to do what they want, when they want, how they want. contrary to that, man, and a good man is that man who's cultured, who's civilized, and who's a Muslim. Because he's got a code of conduct to follow. He has to be disciplined. He has to now follow the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether standing, sitting, walking, talking, whether going to toilet, in his business, in his transaction, in politics, in economics, social life, everything, he is governed by a certain law. He's not left loose. He hasn't been sent on the surface of the earth and sent out here to do what he wants, how he wants. Now you'll find, unfortunately, that men also, that when they are not governed by any law, then he'll stand and urinate anywhere. He will have a relationship anywhere. And he will swear. And he'll become vulgar. And he will behave like he is not governed by any law. The quality of the animal comes into man. And when this quality of animalism comes into man, he becomes disobedient. He becomes a person transgressing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, like an animal, does not worry about halal, haram. So this not caring about halal, haram, when man does not govern himself and does not be cautious, he does not also bother. He will consume anything, halal, haram, and he will transact in interest. He will get himself involved with OD. He will get himself in those goods which are stolen and purchase it. And then he will get involved in robbery, cheating, dacoity. Now these words, although they were applicable these days it is done very professionally. The person steals, he steals it very sophisticatedly, very professionally he steals it. Now he does this under the section of white collar crime. And that very person, after amassing wealth from stolen goods and stolen properties, he is in reality like an animal. Because an animal does not bother about halal, haram. An animal does not bother about where the food comes from, how it comes, when it comes, just that the food must come. Now, the quality of that animal gets into the man, and man begins to behave like this, like an animal. I must carry on.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, that is, inshallah, we would love you to continue with this explanation, I think, on our next Q&A.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, you've already answered one of our questions. One, actually, there was a question where this person wanted to know that how would fasting bring about taqwa? How is fasting going to make you become pious? And alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, you have indeed answered that question.
Inshallah, in the near, the ongoing programs, we will continue to elaborate on
this. Inshallah. You are tuned to Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM Stereo. The program is Q&A, and this program is sponsored by Al Imdad Foundation. It's approximately 17 minutes past 4. If you have any questions for our learned scholar online, you can call us on 208-1661. Sister Nosheen will take down your questions. Once again, if you have any questions, you could call us right now on 208-1661. We have online with us our learned scholar, Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab. And as I had addressed Mufti Saab as Sheikhul Hadith due to the utmost respect that we have for this learned scholar. Mufti Saab, our next question that we have is actually from a diabetic. This person says, I am a diabetic and need to check my blood sugar level several times a day. This involves pricking my finger with a needle and expressing a drop of blood, which I then use to check my blood sugar level. My question is that will this act of pricking my finger and obtaining a drop of blood break my fast if I do this during the fasting hours? Mufti Saab, your response?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As a rule, we should understand something, that anything that comes out of the body does not break the fast, because anything that comes out of the body, for example, a person is making dua and he begins to cry. Now tears come out of the body and tears come out of the eyes, that will not break the roza. A person went and he when to pass out urine. Urine, pass out urine does not break the fast. Person went to toilet, passed out stool, does not break the fast. Now in this case, the person went and repeatedly has been having himself tested for blood sugar because he's a diabetic.
Yes.
So that will not break the fast. That will not break the fast because it has what you call come out of the body. Similarly, anything that goes inside will break the fast. One point I would like to mention, because you will get this in Ramadan,
yes,
about vomiting.
Yes, yes.
People must pose this question irrespective of any station. They will ask the person that, does vomiting break the fast? Now, the person then he will say, I vomited, and he will say whether it is mouthful or not mouthful.
Yes.
Now, we will answer, because I just stated something, that something coming out of the body will not break the fast. For example, a lady, she is breastfeeding a child.
Right.
Now, that will not break the fast. That will not break the fast, although Shariat allows her not to fast. Shariat allows her due to ailment, because there are 10 classified people who are not, they can be exempted from fasting, which we will discuss as the time goes on. So she is one of them. The one who is expecting is another. The one in jihad is another, the one is going for journey is another. However, a person now vomited. We will say whether, we'll ask the question whether this vomiting is voluntary or involuntary, whether this was self-inflicted or not. Now, if a person just vomited now will be voluntary, mouthful, not mouthful. Involuntary, mouthful, not mouthful. So, voluntary, meaning the person, he purposely made himself or herself vomit. Whether it is mouthful or not mouthful, it will break the fast. But involuntary, the person due to some ailment, sickness, he or she vomited, mouthful or not mouthful will not break the fast.
Okay, shukran for that, for your reply, Mufti Sahib. The next question is, this person would like to know whether it is permissible to clip or to cut one's hair and nails while fasting, or does one have to wait until sunset?
As far as having a haircut or having the nails cut, two things here. First of all, it does not break the fast, and secondly, it does not break the wuzu also. Certain people are of the opinion that if you have a haircut, and you first of all you had wuzu, and you went to have a haircut, now, or you paid your nails, they feel that that broke the fast, broke the wuzu. So, haircut or pairing of the nails does not break the fast, nor the wuzu, nor obviously the ghusl.
Shukran for that. You are tuned to Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM Stereo. The program is Q&A. Our guest this afternoon is our learned scholar, who I have once again, Mufti Sahib has corrected me that he's going to explain Sheikhul Hadith, but due to the utmost respect that we do have for our learned scholars, we say Sheikhul Hadith, Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib, is online. If you do have any questions, you could call in right now on 208-1661. Sister Nosheen is waiting to take your call. And inshallah, if your question is not answered today, Mufti Sahib, inshallah, will be with us on Thursday between 4 and 5 also. Going on to our next question. The next question is, Mufti Sahib, the person would like to know that while fasting, I went for a CT scan. I was informed that I will not have to take anything orally for this procedure. However, I was given some medicine through IV. Did this invalidate my fasts?
The medicine given through IV, if it went into an organ, if it went into an organ like barium meal, how they do barium meal, etc.,
yes,
then it breaks the fast. If it just was an injection, then it does not break the fast. But as I understand from the question, that looks like the fluid injected for this scan here broke the fast. So the person, first of all, should inquire from the doctor that did this fluid go into an organ so that they could see it on a scan. There are certain times when they do these CT scans and whatever scans they do, they actually want to see some fluid in the organ. when the fluid goes into that organ, then they are able to assess with their technology and their science and their education and their knowledge that the organ is damaged or not damaged or the state of that organ. But in order to assess that, they put some fluid via the system into that organ. So any fluid reaching any organ will break the fast.
Okay, shukran for your answer. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, after Sehri and Fajr Salah, if you go back to sleep thereafter when you wake up, is it permissible to brush one's teeth with miswak toothpaste or the other toothpaste that you get? Will this nullify the fast?
As far as utilization of any cleaning agent whilst fasting, be it powder or be it toothpaste, then the rule, first of all, a person should try to abstain. First of all, a person should try to abstain. But if a person wants to utilize any toothpaste whilst in the state of fasting, then please, I would like the listeners, when you quote me completely, but do not quote me partially. If you quote me partially, then there is going to be unnecessary misinterpretation of the ruling. The ruling is that it is permissible to utilize toothpaste, but the statement that is coming is most important. Provided no part of the toothpaste goes down the throat. If any part of the toothpaste or the cleaning agent goes down the throat intentionally or unintentionally, it will break the fast. So the rider is, it must not go down the throat. It must not go down the throat. Therefore, the safe way will be, the safe course of action will be, do not utilize the toothpaste whilst in the state of fasting.
Mufti Sahab, while we are at this point, I would also like to include this in the event if we do this question, if these questions do come up with regard to using the floss and also mouthwashes. Can we just clarify this question also, Mufti Sahab?
As far as the floss is concerned, obviously that will be permissible to utilize the floss, but a person, if he takes out any particles, he must make sure that the particles must be thrown out of the mouth, must be taken out of the mouth. As far as the mouthwash is concerned, these mouthwashes, you must not use them because they are going to inevitably go down the throat. As a result, a person is going to break the fast. However, if a person is extremely cautious when he is using the mouthwash, then it will be permissible. We will suggest that if you have no valid medical reason for using the mouthwash, then postpone it for after iftari. In the state of fasting, you are going to jeopardize your own fast. So as a precautionary method, do not use the mouthwash.
Shukran for your response to that, Mufti Sahab. Our next question, Mufti Sahab, a sister would like to know that is it permissible for her to take medication or a pill to stop her menstrual cycle so that she could keep all her fast during the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak? Is this permissible?
Yeah, there are two, three factors. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man and has created woman. And for the woman, she monthly discharges some blood. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, He is our maker, and He understands our body, and He has designed our body and fashioned our body, and He wants the female body to disperse of the blood, and He wants the female body to discharge the blood so that the body may remain healthy. Can you imagine a person who, for example, man and female, who does not go for urination and for passing of stool? Major operations have to be performed when a person does not go out to perform, go out to pass out urine or stool. So Allah has made that system. Now, when Allah has made a system, it is advisable, highly advisable, to maintain that system and go according to that system. However, if a lady takes some sort of medication which prevents her menstrual cycle from coming, and from prevents her blood from coming and controls her period as a monthly, and she becomes so-called pure, then it is valid. Her fast in that condition is valid. But we will say that when Allah has put out a certain sequence and procedure, we should not try to interfere. Also, if a person, the medical practitioners can come and advise that if some lady repeatedly stops her cycle and controls her cycle unnecessarily without any valid medical reason, that may be harmful and detrimental for her body from a biological point of view, from a medical point of view. However, in the light of Sharia, if she utilizes some medicine to control, that will be permissible, her fast will be valid.
Mufti Sahib, shukran for that. Mufti Sahib, our next question comes from a sister, and this sister would like to know that if while fasting she had to go to a gynecologist, would her fast be valid or not?
See, the lady that went, obviously she's referring to a checkup.
Yes.
She's referring to what we call internal checkup.
Yes.
Then she's referring to, there are two types of checkup. One is that it is a wet checkup, and one is a dry checkup. If there was a dry checkup, the fast is valid. If there was a wet checkup, the fast has been broken. Now, the details, obviously, the ladies understand about this.
Yes, I'm sure they would. Mufti Sahib, moving on to our next question. This also comes from a sister, that while fasting, you start menstruating. Is your fast for that day accepted, or do you have to make qazah?
Because there is no fast for the lady who is experiencing periods, then definitely the day when that, or the time when that period started, the fast is automatically broken, invalidated. So for that day, qazah has to be made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very easy, that there is qaza for fasting for a menstruating lady, but no qaza for salat while they were in that state of a period. For example, if they were menstruating for 6 days, and in each day there is six salats which have to be made qaza, so they should supposed to have made 36 salats qaza. But if she was in the month of Ramadan, then she'll only make one fast, which she missed for one fast. That means only six fasts. So in the question posed, for that day, that fast is invalid, is broken, she will have to make it up. And the recompensation for that fast is, after the month of Ramadan, she will make one qaza fast.
Shukran for your response. Right now, if you do have any questions for our learned scholar, you may call us on 208-1661. If you're calling out of Durban, the area code is 031. Mufti Sahib, our next question comes from a brother. He would like to know that while in the state of fasting, can he embrace his wife, and also can he kiss his wife?
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes clearly in the hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sahabi asked him a question, that whilst in the state of fasting, can he kiss his wife? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. Then in the same gathering, another sahabi, companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whilst in the state of fasting, can he kiss his wife? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. Sahaba Ikram, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him, Ya Rasulullah, same question, but two different answers.
Mm-hmm.
Why the difference? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated very clearly that the difference lies in the age of the person who posed the question. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to the person who I said no, that person is a young person. And this young person who obviously does not have so much discipline and so much control over himself. And the person to whom I said yes He's an elderly person. He's got control and discipline. He will be able to control himself. In one hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that do not graze your cattle near the boundaries of the government. Meaning that if you do so, then your cattle may just put their mouth in the wrong place. They put their mouth in the pastures of the government, and that will be in penalty, punishment, difficulty, harassment, and proceedings. Here also Nabi Akram Sahib is indicating that if a person, what the ulama has deduced, that if a person can control himself, and if a person is disciplined, and if a person, he has good, absolutely good governance of over his body, soul, and mind, then he may kiss his wife. But if he is a person who is passionate, and if he does such an action, he may lose control over himself and then do the wrong thing. After that, he will have to make qaza and kafara if he goes and has a relationship with his wife. So the safe thing will be that to try and stay away, but it is permissible to kiss the wife. However, again, the rule will depend on each individual. He is the mufti for himself, and he should decide for himself whether he wants to do it or not.
Alhamdulillah, shukran for your response to that. Mufti Sahib, the next question is, this person would like to know, ihtilam, does that break the fast? And if you could please define that also for the benefit of our listeners.
Ihtilam means basically a wet dream, and the wet dream will not break the fast. Whether this wet dream, the male experienced it or the female.
So that person's fast is still valid.
Yes.
Shukran for that. You are tuned to Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM Stereo. This afternoon's Q&A is sponsored by Al Imdad Foundation. It's approximately 16:44 right now, and we still have our learned scholar online, and inshallah, you will be having our learned scholar online on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and inshallah, Sundays. And inshallah, once Radio Al Ansar is permanent, then this will be our permanent mufti. Brother Riaz Jamal is right there, and I'm sure he will agree to that. Permanent mufti of Radio Al Ansar. Alhamdulillah, the station manager has agreed to that, Uda Amir. If you have any questions, you could call us on 208-1661. If you're calling out of Durban, the number is 031. We'd also like to remind you, inshallah, from 5 p.m. to 12 p.m. every evening, Radio Al Ansar. You could actually pick up Radio Al Ansar on your World Space Satellite Receiver on event 596. 596 will be Radio Al Ansar International. Mufti Sahib, our next question, the sister would like to know is that, can a lady in Hayes read Durood Sharif?
A lady in Hayes, basically, she can make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she can recite Durood Sharif, and if she wants to recite any Quranic ayat, then she may make the intention not of tilawat, but maybe she wants to recite some ayat of Quran for protection. So she can do so, recite any Quranic ayat for the intention of protection. So she can read Durood Sharif, she can make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is permissible.
So in the event if she wants to, as Mufti Sahib has said, you know, for protection, if she wants to read even Ayatul Kursi, or whether it's the Surah Falaq or Surah Nas, that would be permissible.
Not with the intention of tilawat.
Okay, shukran for that. Mufti Sahib, the next question is, this person would like to know that on many of the radio stations, including Radio Al Ansar, Channel Islam, and the other radio stations, that they hear the ayat of sajda. Does the listener have to make the sajda at-tilawah?
The listener does not have to make sajda at-tilawah.
Okay, and Mufti Sahib, with this question also, I think this question has come up quite a few times. Why listening to the Taraweeh, I think, in Makkatul Mukarramah or Madinah Munawwarah or over Channel Islam International or any other receivers, can the ladies or can a person follow that Taraweeh from their homes?
This is absolutely ludicrous. Because a person is too far away and he cannot follow, the Taraweeh are broadcasted over television or over the radio, over any station, irrespective of whichever the station is. The reason is very simple, that there is too big a gap between the imam and the person who is listening. You have to be what we call mustasil, attached to the imam, and you will have to be near the imam, in close proximity to the imam. And this is also a question which arises during Hajj time, and especially after the first of Zil Hajj, when the Salat going on in the Haram, and the overflow, especially now when there is 2-3 million people, and the overflow is outside the walls of the Haram and flowing into the street. And when it is flowing into the street, there is a continual flow of rows. Then you are, when you are in those rows, or sometimes those rows even go into the hotel foyers, etc. And the local Arabs tune in the radio station so that they pick up the Haram Imam. And then it is permissible. The reason there it is permissible, because there is a continuous flow. Here, where a person, he cannot put the television on, and if the Imam is in Arafat, and then decide I'm following the Imam in Arafat, that is absolutely atrocious and ludicrous. There is no Mufti in the world who is giving permissibility for such a weird action.
JazakAllah for your response to that, Mufti Sahab. The next question is, can you fast without sari? Can you fast without making sari?
If a person, first of all, we must understand there is tremendous barakat in sari. And the Shariat of Islam has encouraged partaking of pre-dawn meal, the sari. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated there are many boons and favors in partaking of sari, and there is barakah and blessing in partaking of sari. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in one hadith that they act contrary to the Ahl al-Kitab, partake of sari. Meaning when the Ahl al-Kitab, when they fast, they don't partake of the different meal of sari. However, if a person, he overslept and did not make sari, then he can still fast. He just makes his intention, and inshallah he or she will be able to fast. Inevitably, it happens in most of the families that one or two sari's they miss it due to something or exhaustion or tiredness or fatigue. Sometimes it happens that the entire family sleeps away, and then alhamdulillah they get up for Fajr and perform their Fajr. Don't miss your Fajr, obviously. Fajr is Faraz. Sari is Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not make it a habit of leaving out the Sari.
JazakAllah. It's approximately 16:50. We have about 9 minutes left to conclude with our Q&A with our learned scholar. Once again, if you do have any questions, the questions could keep coming in. Sister Nosheen is waiting to take your call on 208-1661. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, can a Hafiza or a lady perform Taraweeh, and can other females follow her? Can she be the Imam or the Imamah of the others?
This is a very contentious masala, and ulama ikram, most of the ulama ikram are stating that this is highly not advisable. However, Maulana Abdul Hay Lakhnawi rahmatullah alayhi has written that there should be some exception made for that Hafiza who is fearing that if she does not perform her Taraweeh or does not make someone listen to her Taraweeh, her Quran, then she has got a tendency of forgetting it. All are of the opinion, everybody is of the opinion, that the Salat, Jama'at Salat, led by ladies, for ladies, is definitely makruh. But the exception will be if there is a great fear that she will forget her Quran, then she is allowed, not making any great show of it or any pomp of it, having 2-3 house ladies reciting the Quran, and she must know that as an imam, she will not stand like how the male imam stands, but she will stand in the rows of the ladies, and she would stand in the center.
Shukran. Well, our next question is also on with regard to Taraweeh. The person would like to know, is it permissible to read the Taraweeh in 4 rakats and not 2 rakats? Your response, Mufti sir?
Although it is permissible, and it is written in Fatwa Mahmudiya, that it is permissible to read more than 2, meaning that to give salam at 4 or 6 or 8, after that it becomes makruh. The ladies can take advantage over this rule, especially because they are working in the kitchen, they are tired, and physically they are not strong. So when they perform their salat or taraweeh, they can make the salam either at 4 or 6 or at 8 and make their salat in that fashion. However, in our masajid, the pattern of 2 rakats, after every 2 rakats to make salam, that is the pattern that should be adopted and which has been coming down, and we should do it.
Shukran for that. Mufti Sahib, the next question is also based on salah. The sisters would like to know that since many of these sisters are working in town and where there is a Jamaat Khana with separate facilities for the sisters for wudu and salah, is it permissible to gather there for their salah?
For which salah?
For, I think it's the Zuhr salah, the Zuhr and the Asr, and Salatul Jumu'ah.
As a rule, the spirit of the Shariat and the Sharia of Islam is saying clearly that the role of the ladies is not outside the home, but inside the home, and the lady should maintain a hijab when she comes out of the home. And when the lady maintains hijab when she goes out of the house and it comes to Salat time, there is a place, a masjid which has got absolutely separate facilities. The entrance is separate, the exit is separate, the toilets are separate, the wuzu khana is separate. The men cannot listen to them, they cannot listen to the men. They have no contact with the men, and the men have no contact with them. The sound of them does not reach their men, etc. Then it will be permissible for them to go to that particular facility, amenity, and utilize that particular facility and amenity. However, for women to gather even to Taraweeh Salat, to go to the masajid for Taraweeh Salat, that is makruh, because Khuruj Nisa Ba'd Maghrib Wa Isha, to let the ladies come out of their home after Maghrib and Isha, is definitely makruh and definitely detested in the eyes of Shariat. The ladies, or the Muslim ladies' dignity is at stake, their honor is at stake. The Muslim lady is not one who is supposed to be in the streets or coming out of their houses. They are valuable property. Valuable property is to be kept at home and to be maintained at home and not taken out into the streets. So if there is some facilities, it will be permissible but not advisable.
JazakAllah for that. Mufti Sahib, the next question that has come through, the question is as follows. Does your fast break if you have sexual thoughts of your partner, or, according to the question, Mufti Sahib, it says boyfriend? Your response to this, Mufti Sahib?
There's two things here. One is that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has stated, and you can see it in TG of Islam also in Ihya'ul Ulum al-Din, where he explains it in detail about the various levels, degrees of fasting. And unfortunately, when we discuss again that ayat in the next program about animalism, and one of the things that I would like to discuss in the next introduction is about the sexual activities and the relationship and of animals, and how in the month of Ramadan we are allowed and we are given the golden opportunity to control these things. So the person who is getting the thought of relationship, his fast technically does not break. His fast technically does not break. However, the sawab of the fast is definitely diminishing and reducing and lessening. So this person here should take stock of himself and control his thoughts. The easiest way of this, that alhamdulillah, he is fasting or she is fasting, they should recite Durood Sharif, recite Quran Kareem, sit with the ulama ikram, go to the masjid, sit there, make extra nafil ibadat. However, The second part of the question, that is most worrying, that the person is thinking about an illicit relationship. And to think about illicit relationship, even in the state of not fasting, is haram. Now a person is doing it in the state of fasting, the sin obviously will increase. So the person, he should not waste time. If he wants to get married, then he should make the necessary arrangements and proposals and proceed with that, and not entertain evil, bad thoughts, thoughts which are going to destroy his moral fiber, and those things that are going to destroy his modesty and shyness. So the ruling will be, although these thoughts are vile and they are a fitna, a trial and a tribulation, will not render his fast void, but definitely it will diminish the spirit and letter of the fast.
Shukran. Mufti Sahib, what is the Islamic viewpoint of the sister who has actually got mouth ulcers, sores in her mouth, actually very heavy temperature also, I think the flu, but yet she insists to fast and while being advised not to fast? What is the ruling on that?
As far as the question in particular, if a reliable, if a pious, the condition is pious first, pious, righteous, reliable doctor advises the patient that with your condition you should not fast, and then corroborating with this ruling of the doctor and with the ruling of the alim of your locality or the mufti of your locality, then you should not fast. Provided that the doctor who is giving this advice and ruling and this guidance is pious first, is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for a petty reason he wants his patient not to fast. Truly speaking, he does not want his patient to fast because of medical deteriorating conditions if the patient has to fast. Now here, the lady that is fasting, obviously she is in a position, she is the best mufti for herself to decide that if I fast, I will get more sick or will I not get more sick. But if a doctor, a pious doctor, has told her not to fast, that she rather not fast for 1-2 days, regain her health, and inshallah she'll be able to fast for the remaining month of this of Ramadan.
Shukran for that, Mufti Sahib. Just on a very light note, what do you call a male is obviously a mufti, and someone that's a female, what title do you give them, Mufti Sahib?
Maybe Muftiyan.
Muftiyan. So Mufti Sahib, that means I have been calling you Mufti. I should be addressing you as a Sheikh al Hadith.
No.
Mufti Sahib. Alhamdulillah, it's been an honor and pleasure for us to have you onto our Q&A session. We still have so many more questions for you. The lines are buzzing. But Mufti Sahib, inshallah, on Thursday, we will be back again with our Q&A. And once again, on behalf of the directors of Radio Al Ansar, on behalf of myself, the listeners of Radio Al Ansar, we would like to thank you very, very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah give you the health and the strength to continue with the work that you are doing. Shukran to you, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.